So we started this series on The Voice just after Christmas, and we're going to finish the series just before Easter. So we're coming towards the end, and it's all about how God speaks to us, and it's all about how we can hear God's voice. And the title this morning is called, Whose Voice Is That? Which will become very clear when I read from 1 Samuel 3. If you want to follow it in your Bible, please do. But also, I'll give you encouragement to close your eyes, if you like, and try and picture the scene as I read it. Not to go to sleep, not just quite yet, but try and put yourself there, because when I was preparing for this, I thought, I haven't read this passage for ages, and it really is quite beautiful and, you know, quite calm, and there's a lot in it. So I'm going to read from now, and if you want to close your eyes, you can. So the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the words of the Lord were rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Then the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle." You can open your eyes now, so if you did close them. I love that. I'm going to say something that says God that's going to make your ears tingle. Doesn't that set up a sense of anticipation and excitement about what God is about to say next? And wouldn't you just love to hear God say to each one of you, "I'm going to say something now, and it's going to make your ears tingle and the hairs stand up on the back of your breath, on your neck, and get goosebumps and get all excited about what I'm about to say." But this is, as I said, a very beautiful scene. I can imagine the quietness and the calmness of the temple at night. But also, it's tinged with a little sadness. We start off with Eli. Eli, the priest, who had been priest in the temple since as long as he could remember, but also had been involved in Samuel's family's life right from the very beginning. But you get this picture of a man who is reaching the end of his life. We think he was in the early 90s at this point of his time. And you get this picture painted of this person who knows that he's rather full of years and maybe his time is coming to an end. We read that his eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. So his eyesight was going. We have this image of a gentleman who walked close with God coming to the end of his life. And you can almost feel him having that sense of the weight of years on him. He probably didn't anticipate that he was going to die quite the way he did, because if you read on a couple of chapters, Eli died by, he was sitting on a chair and he was surprised by something somebody said. He fell off his chair and he broke his neck. That kind of tragicomic thing kind of undermines a bit of the image I'm trying to paint here. But there is a sadness and there is a pathos here as well, not just because Samuel was getting old in years, but because we also read that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Can you imagine being somebody who had dedicated almost 90 years of your life to walking alongside God, a priest in the temple, worshiping as best you could in the way that you understood he wanted it to be worshipped, been having that priestly role and yet living at a time when you haven't heard God's voice for so long? What must that have done to Eli's mind? Night by night, when he came to lay down in the temple by the Ark of God, trying to get some sleep, what thoughts would go through your mind if you lived at a time when God's voice seemed to have been silent? I'm somebody that tends not to switch off very well. So when I go home in the evening from SNG on a Sunday night or Basement Cafe on a Friday night or anything like that, my mind is a mess of thoughts and a whirl of images. Sometimes, like after the last family forum, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I nudge Carol and start to share with her what thoughts are going through my mind. But imagine Eli being in that silent place. What doubts were going through his mind? What aches were in him? What yearning was there to hear God to speak again when he went down to sleep? So that's Eli coming towards the end of his life. And the other end of the extreme, we have Samuel, who was about 12 years old when this was speaking. And Samuel was working in the temple, being ministered to by Eli. He was learning the task of working in the temple. Today you would say that Eli was mentoring Samuel, because he was like showing him the ropes, but also teaching him how to be close to God, how to worship him in the way that God wanted. But then of Samuel, we read this, that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So on the one hand, you have Samuel, who has grown used to silence. Eli, who has grown used to silence. On the other hand, you have Samuel, who has yet to have any direct experience of God in his life, any experience of a revelation of God speaking into his life. So two people at each extreme of the spectrum in that way. So when God speaks in what we take to be an audible voice, it's no wonder, is it, that it took the two of them a long time to work out what was happening, what was going on. So that's kind of like the scene and the background. I want to say three simple things this morning. The first one is, how do we recognize the voice of God? I suppose the main part of this passage that kind of slaps us around the face like a wet kipper is that none of them knew who was speaking. None of them understood that it was God that was speaking. So why not? I think sometimes when we say that we hear the voice of God speaking to us, sometimes we ourselves have doubt. Was that really God? Was that really his word speaking into our lives? And certainly if we share the whole idea of God speaking to us with some of the friends who don't share our same faith, they'll think we're going to start raving bonkers. Now, how do you expect this almighty God, who you say created the whole world, sustains it by his power, is all powerful and everywhere, you mean to say that he speaks to somebody like you and somebody like me? Why would he bother? How do you know it's God speaking? How do you know it's really his voice? Well, the pat answer, but although there's some truth in it, is to say that if we follow Jesus, we know. We just know when God is speaking to us. But for me, there's more to it than that. I think one of the most obvious things in this picture of Samuel and Eli being in the temple is one that we overlook. And that is, day by day, they were in the place where God had called them to be. Day by day, they were serving God in the temple. Night by night, they were sleeping right by the presence of God, as shown by the Ark of God. They were generally doing what they were meant to do in the way that God meant them to do it. So they had a good background and a good platform from which God could build. They were in relationship with God as best that they knew how. They weren't perfect. They weren't super saints. There wasn't anything miraculous about them. They were just doing the best that they could to serve God in the way that they knew how. And I think there's a basic message for us as well, that the place where we can best be is the place where Jesus has called us. And the place where we can best be is to serve him in the best way that we understand how, and to try our best to live the sort of life that he wants us to live. And that is a bedrock. If we're trying to maintain that relationship, then out of that, God can build and something can speak. And God can speak to us. Sorry, just a quick look at my notes. And I think there's an image for us there, that the place where they slept next to the ark of God is as close to God as they felt they could get. And metaphorically, that's what we should be seeking to do in our lives, to be as close to God and as come to as close to him in our daily life as we possibly can. And out of that platform, we'll be able to hear the word of God when he speaks to us. But more than that, though, I think often we can tell that God is speaking to us when more than one thing happens in our life and it corroborates each other and links in with each other. So what do I mean by that? The message that the Lord was going to give to Samuel, if you read to 11, verse 14, was an almost identical message that a man of God had given to Eli back in 1 Samuel 2. It's in 1 Samuel 2, 27 to 36. You read those two passages together, and the message is almost the same. That's what I call about knowing, that's what I mean by knowing God's voice through a corroboration of different things. If a man of God says a word to Eli a little while before the Lord says the same word to Samuel, you kind of get the clue that God has got a message and he's trying to get through. One supports the other. And we know, don't we, and we've said that in our series, that God speaks to us in many ways. Sometimes it may be an audible voice, sometimes it may be an inner voice, maybe it's through creation, maybe it's as we read the Bible, maybe it's through a friend of ours who speaks something of God into our life, maybe it's through circumstances. And we know that the voice of God is speaking when a number of those things come into alignment. Have you ever had those situations where maybe you've read something in the Bible, and then a couple of days later, your friend has shared a picture with you, and you think, now that sounds familiar. That kind of backs up what I've just heard. And then some circumstance in your life, God brings somebody sort of across your path, and all three things start to make the penny drop. That yes, God is speaking into my life, and God is saying something to me. Out of all of those things, I would say the one thing to be careful of is circumstances, because if you read throughout the Bible, different people take circumstances in different ways. And just relying on God speaking to you from circumstances alone, I would say just treat with caution, because circumstances can be interpreted in different ways. But when those circumstances align with something in your Bible, something that you've sung in church or whatever, then there's a clue that God is trying to speak to us and we need to listen. The second issue I want to raise, quite simply, is age. Age is absolutely no barrier. God came to call Samuel, who was 12 years old. This reminded me of something that happened in our all-age service last Sunday morning. I don't know if any of you were here. Were you here last Sunday morning at 9:15? No. It might be a bit difficult to convey to you, but during that service, Dave, who was hosting the service, called some of the younger children up. They were maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And he was talking to them about love and just asking simple questions. How do we know God loves us? And these young children just started to speak out of their knowledge and their relationship with God in a very profound way. Those of us that were there that morning, there was a hush. And you could also hear one or two people, just an intake of breath. Because these young children weren't just giving off-the-cuff answers. You know, Jesus wasn't the answer to everything. They just entered into these conversations, and some of what they said was absolutely and totally profound. There is a saying that we have, isn't there? Some people have, out of the mouths of babes and infants come some deep spiritual truths. And that was really it. It was a special moment last Sunday. It's hard for me to describe to people that weren't there. And I expect, in my role as children and youth pastor, you'd expect me to say this, but God can speak through and to even the youngest child. And we need to listen to our children and young people when they say God has spoken something to us. And particularly younger children, there's kind of like an innocence about them. They haven't yet had all of the criticism and all of the kind of doubt and disbelief put in their mind. So when they talk about how they hear the voice of God and how they know that God loves them, through the words that they were using, there was a deep spirituality that was within them that as adults it's easy to miss. So I'd say we need to listen to our children and our young people when they say God is speaking to them. And not just say they're too young. How do they know? Not even to say, we don't even know if that five-year-old child has said something profound. We don't even know if they've decided to follow Jesus yet. Well, here's Samuel. And we read that Samuel didn't even know the voice of the Lord in his heart. Sorry, it will go. There is something about God using children. But I'll also say similarly, we need to learn from Eli, those at the other end of the age scale. Because these people have lived many years walking with God and they have a wisdom within them that many of us don't have. It may well be that people in their 90s have been brought up on a diet of ancient hymns, love reading the Bible with loads of these, thys and thous where you have to have your teeth in, took exams at Sunday school to show how much they knew of God. And they may not have jumped up and down in a tent with 10,000 other people singing that somehow Jesus is dynamite, which is a theology I still got to work through. They may not have that kind of same lifestyle and that same experience. They have the wisdom of the years and have walked with God a long time. We need to listen to the elders amongst us in terms of their experience. They too still hear God's voice. They have so much to contribute to our community life. One of the great things to me in this passage is that it's intergenerational. It's that God chose a situation with a 90 plus and a 12 year old person, and that they needed each other to sort it out. Who did Samuel run to when he first heard this voice? He ran to Eli because he thought it was Eli's voice. Time and time again. I would have been terribly frustrated if I was Eli by the third time, if I was trying to get some sleep and kept being interrupted by Samuel. But finally it needed Eli to say, aha, now I know what's happening. Samuel, God is speaking to you. And this is what you should do when he speaks. It needed both of them working together to work out what was happening in that place. And that says something about the beauty of the generations coming together in community like this. My final thought is this, and that is that God still speaks. It would seem like it had been something of a desert place, not just for Eli, but all those that followed God at this time. When was the last time that they had known God speak to them? When was the last time they had felt God so close to them? When was this time going to end? And sometimes I guess you and I, we're often in that desert place where we're trying our best to live the life that we should lead. But somehow it seems that God is silent. Somehow it seems that God is there and it's very not there. And it's very easy for us to think that in somehow God has abandoned us. And yet he never does. He never gives up. Imagine the joy and the tears that must have run down Eli's face when after all these years of not hearing God, after all these years of being in that desert place where God doesn't speak, God shows up and he starts to call to Samuel. Imagine the kind of the dam bursting within Eli. Yes, you know, God is still there. God still speaks to us today. And it's very hard to have any type of relationship with anyone unless there is a conversation going on. Imagine if you're a husband and wife living in a house and you don't speak to each other for months on end. What sort of relationship is that? We need that conversation with God. We need him to speak to us. And when he speaks, we need to listen. So even out of the barren times, God can still speak. But not only that, it also shows us that God doesn't give up on us. He wasn't an impatient God. You know, I would have thought if I was God and I was speaking in an audible voice to Samuel, it was pretty clear that who I was speaking to. But three times he didn't recognize God's voice. So the fourth time he spoke again. That's something I think that we can take away with us if we're waiting to hear God's voice. We're waiting for God to say something to us. He never gives up. And when he speaks, he wants us to listen. So if he has something to say to us, he will say it again and again and again until we recognize who's speaking and what is on his heart. So never fear that you've missed something of God speaking into your life, because he will try again and again. And when he does speak, we need to follow Eli's advice. He said to Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." There remains something of a humble experience when God speaks. He said before, the creator of everything, the all-powerful, the almighty God, that he speaks to us. Sometimes in the gentleness, sometimes in a big loud voice, sometimes when we're worshiping, sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power and we just hear God speak to us. There is something humbling about that. But when God speaks, we need to take notice, we need to listen and reflect. And listening is more than just hearing the words. Listening is taking them on board and understanding the meaning and letting God's words sink deep within us, letting the voice of his Holy Spirit live and dwell within us. And sometimes that takes time, and sometimes we need to just tune out all the other clamoring voices around us. That was the other thing about this beautiful passage in the temple, in the night. There was stillness and there was quietness, perfect to listen to the Lord when he speaks to us. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you that you're not a silent God, that you love to speak in many ways, so many ways to all of us, however young or however old we are. So Lord, we pray that we would recognize your voice. And we pray that we would sit at your feet and we would listen and we would understand. We would take it on board and allow it to change us and to direct our actions. But Lord, I pray particularly this morning for anyone who is feeling this morning that they're a bit like Eli in a desert place, that haven't heard you speak to them for so long. Lord, I pray that you would come to them and that you would speak and they would listen. And Lord, help us to hear your voice, to be in that conversation day by day, to strengthen that relationship of speaking and listening. Amen.